philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
So I was just walking down here with Miko and just, anyway, he was just annoying me. And then I left him to, he was asking me questions about getting rid of some furniture that he knows I don't want to get rid of, and it just annoys me. Anyway, yes, I'm still grateful that he's recovered from heart surgery, etc., etc. And sometimes my husband annoys me, and this morning he was annoying me. Anyway, then I leave him, he's going to walk back, and I go to get, because today is Wednesday, the podcast usually would go out at 6 a.m. today, but I didn't get around to it yesterday or the day before or the day before that, because I literally just don't really have much space for me to come down here by myself. So anyway, I had planned to continue walking and record and then go back and meet with him. And then I grabbed my phone out and my mic and my little lightning adapter, I can't find it. And so I'm just like, for fuck's sake, because at home, I live next to a construction site at the moment and there's just so much noise. So that's really hard for a voiceover artist. Anyway, I'm kind of in that, you know, that just pissed off, annoyed mood. I'm just a little bit annoyed. But anyway, I found the adapter and it's all systems go, but it's just the frustration of, of like having a plan and being all ready to go with the plan and then like shit coming in and fucking with the plan. Anyway, so what I wanted to talk about was something that's been like around, like swimming around me for a while, and I've actually been unpacking it myself for a few years now. And yesterday I did some stories on Instagram about how like I'd bought these bike shorts, and I bought the bike shorts because I wear a lot of dresses these days. I never used to be a dress person, but I love them now. But the problem is I live in a really warm, humid climate and I'm a solid size 16. And when I'm walking in a dress, there's two issues. For most of summer here, we have this howling northerly wind. So the dress blows up and I don't really want people to see my undies as I'm walking around town. But the second reason is because it's hot and humid and my thighs rub together. And so it just can be really annoying. So whenever I go walking, I have to put shorts on, you know, and I just want to wear my dress. So I bought some little bike shorts to put under my dress. And that was all good. And then yesterday I had a workout. I do a thing called Bod Squad, which is like basically a school term boot camp with like four classes a week. And it's this wonderful group of women, and I've been doing it now for I think 3.5 years. I love it. I love being fit. I love working out. It just really helps with my mental health. Physical movement has always been a part of my keeping well mentally, because you know it was a big part of when I was first diagnosed with depression. Like movement was a big part of my, I don't want to say recovery, but my maintenance, right? Like if I'm out in nature and I'm moving my body, then that's always a good thing. And it's an opportunity for me to get together with other people, which I don't get that opportunity to do because I'm kind of a hermit, not a hermit, but like, I'm not a hugely social person. So it's this, you know, way to get out of the house, connect with other people and move my body. And in outdoors on the beach and shit, right? Like it's pretty cool. Anyway, I was going to Bod Squad, and I had been wearing some bike shorts under a dress, and I thought, I'll just wear the bike shorts to boot camp. And then, like, they're quite short bike, they're more booty shorts, I guess, but they come down like maybe a third of the way down my thigh, so just past the chub rub bit. And I thought, yeah, I'm just gonna wear them, like, it's quite warm. You know, I get hot. I'm sick of wearing 3/4 length leggings that are really thick, you know, and hold all the bits in, but they're also really hot. So I thought, fuck it, I'll just put on a t-shirt and wear the bike shorts. And then I started to hear this familiar narrative start. Oh, like looking in the mirror, checking that it looks okay, checking that there's not a whole lot of lumps and bumps, and, you know, started questioning, am I too wide for these? Am I too old for these? Am I too cellulite-y for these? Are people going to be looking at my legs the whole time? What are they going to be thinking about that? Like, all of these just little stories started to pop up. And I've done a lot of work around this. And, you know, and they're still there. They're not as, I can see them for what they are now, which is really fat phobia, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. And, but I'm more like, well, fuck it. You know, like, what is this about? Do you actually care what people think about your physicality? Like, do you? And there's part of me that does, but there's also a bigger part of me that doesn't give a fuck and would rather be someone who wore the bike shorts and felt uncomfortable in them for the first little while, but got in a good workout and didn't really give a fuck and gave other people permission to wear the bike shorts regardless of what they look like. Because it's not the function of bike shorts. Bike shorts are there so that you can work out, be cool, physically cool, and not rub your fucking thighs together. You know? Like, why not wear them? It's all just fat phobia. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit. You know, anyway, I recorded these stories and I got a lot of interaction from people who were like, yeah, wear the fucking shorts, you know, like, and a lot of stories around other people's journey, particularly those who are on the larger side, you know. And it really just got me thinking about my relationship with my body over the years and how tumultuous that relationship has been and how it's really been based on some conditions. And one of those conditions is that I'm a certain weight, you know, like there's this weight, and when I'm at that weight, then I can, you know, temporarily like myself. And when I talk about myself, I'm talking about my physical body. And that weight is about 20 kilos lighter than I am now. And I, you know, I grew up in a family that wasn't, you know, like, I heard a lot of, oh, she shouldn't be wearing that. Oh God, that looks horrible. Oh, she's put on weight. You know, there's a lot of this stuff, or she's lost weight. You know, look at her, she looks fantastic. She must have lost some weight. You know, all of these comments reinforce a narrative that a woman is not attractive unless she is slim, unless she fits a societal ideal. You know, and that ideal is, I would say, probably a size 8 to 10, which is completely unrealistic for many of us, and not healthy. I've found that, you know, I've always been someone, or not always, but since I was 30, I've always been someone who does work out quite regularly. I am fit, I'm strong, but I'm not very lean. And I, you know, and I've never had a terrible diet or anything. Actually, I'm going to keep moving forward. It's interesting. It's just, you know, bundled with the way I've felt about myself. I've also been, you know, in those early days of exercise, it was because I got married, I moved to Melbourne, well, not Melbourne, but down to Barwon Heads, Ocean Grove area, and I quit smoking, and I just piled on a lot of weight after quitting smoking and after getting married, because pre-marriage, I did a liver cleanse and I lost a bunch of weight for my wedding so I would feel good. And then after the wedding, you know, I finished the liver cleanse and I stopped smoking and boom, there's 20 kilos. I remember feeling really ashamed of my body, and I would wear jeans in the middle of summer, you know, and I'd be so uncomfortable. And then at that point, I wasn't very physical. I'd never really had a exercise routine or really done anything. I would sometimes walk, but that would be about it. And so I started to work out. I found a little personal training studio, which I loved, and I would work out 2-3 times a day. At the same time, I went to my GP and, you know, basically told them that I couldn't lose weight and it wasn't necessarily my diet and what could they do for me. So they put me on these appetite suppressants, and I remember them completely fucking with my head, really fucking with my head. And I ended up, I remember, like, I couldn't make decisions. And one time I remember staying in Melbourne at Crown or something with my parents, and we got in the lift, went up to their room, and I thought, oh shit, I've forgotten something. I can't remember what it was. And so I went back, got in the lift, and I could not remember where my room was, and I couldn't remember where my parents' room was, and I was there freaking out, like, I don't know where I am. And this started happening quite a bit on this medication. Anyway, I ended up going back to the doctors a few weeks later and telling them, and weighing myself, had actually put on weight. And so they upped the dose, and then I started to really, I don't know, not like, I just, I feel like that's where my depression started. Anyway, I went off the drugs and I ended up joining Weight Watchers, and I lost the 20 kilos and I felt fantastic for a little while. But quickly I kind of put on around 5 kilos, and I stayed at that 74 kilo mark for a few years, up until actually I got pregnant with Mabel. And when I got pregnant with Mabel, you know, and I have to say at this point, my exercise regime was very intense. So I would train in the morning for an hour, and that would be like a HIIT session or boxing or sometimes strength and conditioning. And then I would run 9Ks with the dog, and then I would go back to the gym for a second session, and this is when I was living in Nambucca Heads. Like, I pretty much lived at the gym because I was so afraid. Like, I loved it and I was addicted to exercise for sure, but I also was so really fearful of not, like, if I didn't work out for one day, then it would all fall apart. And eventually I got pregnant with Mabel, and I was still running 9Ks a day and doing the occasional workout, but I was also had the office collective, so that took up a lot of my time. And then eventually I fell pregnant and everything changed. So I got really sick during my pregnancy and I was unable to work out, and so my runs turned into walks, and I couldn't eat anything. Like, vegetables just made me feel sick. I pretty much lived on sourdough and frosty fruits, you know, and I stacked on about 35 kilos or something during my pregnancy. And I remember going in when I had started labor, I went into the hospital and the woman lifted up my dress and she was like, "Oh no, you've put on a lot of weight," you know, because she could tell. And it just like was devastating. Anyway, I had Mabel and I tried to shift the weight, and I did various drastic cleanses and got back into exercise, but for the wrong reasons, not because I enjoyed it, but because I just wanted to get rid of the weight. And so I kind of bounced around. I'd lose 5 kilos doing some kind of plan, some kind of program, and then I put it back on. And about 3 years ago, I just kind of decided to let that shit go. And it's been really interesting, because at times I felt really good in this body. Now, probably better than I did when I was at my ideal, you know, sub 70 kilo point. And I'm nearly 90 kilos, and I'm probably over that now. And I felt deep shame too around stuff. And it's interesting, I'd never heard of the term orthorexia before, but it's come up a number of times in the last few weeks. And I've been thinking about it and how often, you know, I feel like particularly when you're skirting around the edges of the wellness world, there's just so much health shaming that goes on. And I've spoken about this in a recent episode, I think a couple of episodes ago, about like stop with the health shaming, you know, because during this pandemic there's this whole, you know, oh, you're okay unless you have an underlying health condition. And I think you know, there's a ableism that comes with that kind of like, well, I don't have an underlying health condition, I have my supplements and green smoothies, and so, you know, that's their problem. And how offensive that is to someone like me, whose husband, you know, just had major heart surgery through no fault of his own, but through a birth defect. And how that, you know, that affects, I can't remember the exact figures, but like 2% of the population or something, and 3%. And most people don't even know they have it until it's too late, right? And like, that's just really, I don't know, that whole narrative of, well, you know, it's only the vulnerable at risk, otherwise it has a 99.7% blah, 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 blah. Fuck off. Actually look at the data. You know, I don't know, it just really annoys me. And I've been thinking about how orthorexia is so entwined into the health and wellness world. There's this real sense of superiority when it comes to a healthy diet at times, you know, like food is medicine, you are what you eat, blah 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 blah. And that narrative, and being immersed in the wellness and spiritual worlds for the last, you know, 20 years, has led me to have a lot of stories and shame around when I do eat barbecue shapes, or, you know, when there's unhealthy food around me. The shame is the thing that almost kicks in my, I don't know if you would call it addiction. I don't know that I'm addicted to bad food, because if there's good food in front of me, I'll, you know, I actually realized, and I've had this realization before, but it really hit me this week, that perhaps I am not the one with the food issues. Perhaps I am not the one with the food issues. Growing up, my mum was always very diet conscious. She was always, you know, like the 20 grams of fat thing and the whatever the latest health fad was, mum, you know, she kept up with that stuff. And I remember her taking, when I was in year seven, a list of preservatives and additives and the, like, you know, which ones were carcinogens and all that kind of jazz to the school to have them photocopy it and hand it out to all the parents with the newsletter. And I was devastated because it was embarrassing. And I feel you know, I love my mum. And I think she also has some shit around food and some shit around being fat. Like, she has never been fat. She is very petite. All her sisters are very petite. They, you know, and they do have this fat stuff going on. Like, fat is unattractive. And so then for me, it's been very hard to be fat and love myself, because I've been taught, and this isn't a judgment on my mum because she's a wonderful human, it's just, I think it's partly generational. Anyway, it led me to have a lot of fucked up stories around food and a fucked up relationship with food, because I had really labeled things good and bad. And you know, orthorexia is this need to control everything that goes into your body, you know, and I see it a lot in the wellness world. Like, the food is going to be the thing to fix you. And I don't know, like, I feel like I've just taken on other people's food stuff and made it my own. And recently I've been thinking about, well, why am I doing that? Why am I carrying this food stuff that isn't mine? Can I be okay with, like, I remember walking around the supermarket with my shopping trolley and I'd be worried that I'd run into someone in case they'd look in my trolley and see Tim Tams, you know, or see a bag of Cheezels. And they would go, oh, that's why she's fat. Like, this is the mentality, like, this is the shit that goes on in my head. This is how much of an effect food has had on my life. Like, I'm worried about people looking in my trolley and making a judgment about what's in there. That's not my shit. That's not my shit, because if I actually gave that much of a shit, I wouldn't have the Cheezels in my bag. I don't care. And I want to normalize, you know, like, I don't know, it is, so I was watching some stories of one of my favorite Instagram people, Denny, Style by Denny, amazing non-binary human. And they were talking about fast fashion. They're really into fashion. And they were talking about how, you know, like, they have a relationship with Kmart, and you know, is that okay when it's like not really all that sustainable? And they were talking about how, like, when we're thinking about shit like this, and this is fashion or food, it's really a, you know, another way of reinforcing, like, this is going to be kind of political, but white supremacy. Because there are a lot of people who can't afford, you know, fucking mushroom blah blah and all the supplements and all the organic food, and they get what is available to them. And that doesn't make them any less of a person, right? And I feel like this, the health and wellness world really reinforces this narrative that if you are eating a bag of Cheezels, you are seriously, like, it's like some kind of fucking crime, you know? Like, I would never feed my child 2-minute noodles. Well, I have and I do. And I'm done with having shame around that, you know? Like, I don't know, it just feels, yeah. I feel like that, you know, like, do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah, and you know what? Like, I get it. Healthy food is important. Having vegetables and having a balanced diet is important. But I don't know. I just think it's worth looking at ourselves and what ableism we're contributing to, and also like unpacking our own fat phobia. One of the best things I ever did when I was coming to terms with things myself and looking to heal my relationship with myself, one of the things I did was started following accounts that were bigger women who were comfortable in their bodies, because I wanted to see that it was possible, because it had never felt possible for me to be a larger woman and feel attractive, you know, or feel, it's not even about being attractive, because it's not about another person, it's about how, you know, feeling confident, feeling sexy in my own body. And so seeing all these women being in their bodies and embracing it, because let's face it, the average woman is over like a size 14. And I think it might even be 16 now. So I am actually the average woman. Yet I'm not catered for in the media very often. You know, there's this whole narrative around, you know, like big women have, if you're going to be in Hollywood, you've got to be fit the ideal, or you've got to be overly, you know, like you can't just be a size 14 regular human. There has to be something, like if you're going to be fat, you've got to be fat. It's like bullshit. The average woman is an average for a reason. There's a fucking lot of us. Yeah, we're not represented enough in media. I think about even just in brands, like sports brands, there are some, you know, there's some brands for sure. And there's definitely a movement gaining momentum where, you know, like women of all shapes and sizes and abilities and colors and even gender is represented in the media. And it's happening more and more and more, but there's still this constant reinforcement of an ideal. And I think it's just worth unpacking or having awareness of what the narratives are going in your own head. Because this is what I learned yesterday with my shorts. There are going to be people, and I could feel it, there were people who looked at me in my shorts and probably were like, whoa, that's brave. Or, whoa, she shouldn't be wearing those shorts. Not my shit, right? Like, if that's you... And you're looking at someone's body, and I've done it, right? Like I'm talking from someone who has done it. Oh, she shouldn't be wearing that. Oh, that's not very attractive. Oh, God, cover up, woman. Like I've done it myself. But what I realize now is that it's like, if somebody is thinking that about me, then that's something for them to unpack. Not for me to cover up to make them feel more comfortable about themselves, right? Like they should not be worried about my legs. They should be worried about what's going on inside their head that's making them think there's something wrong with my legs. Because my legs are what most women's legs are like. The bulk of the population have legs like mine, not legs like a Lorna Jane fucking catalog, right? So, yeah, so just unpack, start being aware of what conversations come up when someone compliments. When you see someone who's lost weight, what do you think? Oh my God, she looks amazing. What does it trigger in you? When someone puts on weight, what does it trigger in you? When you see someone, you know, wearing something that you consider unflattering, what comes up for you? What are you hearing out there in the world? Because I just feel like we've got to start calling this shit out. It's so wrong. Women's value is not in the way that we look. It's not in our tight ass. It's not in our perky tits, right? Like our value is much deeper than that. And I also feel like it's one of those things that stops people, from having a good relationship with themselves. So let's fucking unpack this narrative. Anyway, if you want to connect and you've heard something in this that has impacted you, I always love to hear from you. So reach out to me. I'm on Instagram at Carlosophies, or you can email me via my website, carlinenemo.com. And yeah, that's it from me this week. Until next week, thanks for listening. Peace out.
Carlosophies, I'm Carlinenemo.